Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply. Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
Cowboys coaches conducted their interviews yesterday with the Denver Broncos, Dan Quinn and Kellen Moore, talking to the organization about what they can bring. So now we sit here and wait for, I still would like clarification from Jerry Jones that Mike McCarthy is definitely coming back. Is he trying to keep Dan Quinn from going to Denver? Is Kellen Moore the guy who would get the promotion, as Jason Lockenfor and Mike Florio think? So now a waiting game. I think Dan Quinn ends up as the head coach of the Denver Broncos here in the next few days.
I think you're right on that. He's got a couple of options, but Denver seems to be the fit with George Payton, obviously the organization that there's not a history with the organization, but they've been connected and linked for quite a while with Dan Quinn. So I think you're right. I think it is Denver, and I think it is very soon.
Yesterday, Dak Prescott on his Twitter account apologized for the comments that he made, saying, oh, fans were throwing things at the refs. That's fine. That's okay. And he walked it back on social media, saying I got caught up in the emotion and everyone's safety is paramount and I regret what I said. So good for Dak. I knew he would do it. He's too sharp and he's too big of a brand. I knew he would do it within 48 or 72 hours, and he did it yesterday. I thought Calvin Watkins tweeted something really good about this. Dak apologized, emotional loss, caught up in the moment. We get it. But in 2022, Cowboys need to focus less on the refs. The head coach needs to set the tone on that. Absolutely. Mm-hmm. Totally applaud that tweet. The most finger-pointing I can remember from any Cowboys team in the 11 years of doing this. They turn into really Luka. And Luka's blaming of the referees over the past few seasons. But that was Dak and his apology.
Yeah, look, they do blame the refs. And that is...
But Jason Kidd doesn't. The difference is Jason Kidd does not most of the time. Mike McCarthy does. Mike McCarthy's done it multiple times. And then that allows your players to think that they can do it, and it is the referee's fault.
I guess you could say it creates an us versus them mentality, and that's what all coaches try to do, right? It's us against the world. It's, you know, that's why they'll pick these fights with the other team or with the media or the fan base or in this case, the officials, and you just hope it's not a trend. But, you know, Mike's teams have always been among the most penalized in the league. Even going back to Green Bay, they were a heavily penalized football team. Maybe not first, but on the, you know, in the top half of penalties. Maybe this is just his, like, what they do, what his teams do. Is that an undisciplined aspect? Does he teach them to take risks? If you clutch and grab here, if you get a DPI call, you get a DPI call. I don't know, but something's got to change, and it probably needs to start without blaming the officials.
Some of the spreads and the updates for divisional round weekend, Saturday and Sunday, of course. So the games are going to be split up over the weekend. Vegas, of course, got it right on us, having us as the closest game with a spread of 3. We were the only home team to lose. Here are the spreads. Cincy at Tennessee, Titans are favored by 3.5. That's it. At home. At 3:30 on Saturday. 7 o'clock Saturday night, Green Bay is favored by 6 against San Francisco. Sunday at 2, Tampa Bay is favored by 3 against the Rams. And then 5:30, AFC heavyweight fight. The Chiefs are favored by 2 at home against Buffalo.
I found this to be very interesting. Tennessee, which I think... If I'm looking at it, I think if I had to pick one upset this week, it might be Cincinnati over Tennessee. That might be, if I could only pick one. Tennessee has got 77% of the money on Tennessee and 15% pro money advantage. So the professional bettors, just like they were hammering San Francisco, they are hammering Tennessee. I found that to be very interesting. That Tennessee,
if they're hammering Tennessee, then why would you pick Cincy if they're telling us that they're going with the Titans?
I'm just saying, like, if you were to think, I think most people would think if they were to pick one upset, this would probably be it, right?
Yeah.
Like, Tennessee's the most exposed or I guess the least dominant of the teams. But I found it to be pretty interesting that Tennessee was getting that much of a pro money advantage. Rams have an 11% professional money of smart, sharp better advantage. So 11% more of the pro money is on LA. Another one. That's pretty interesting.
All right. Stars last night at the AAC going up against a really, really bad team. And it was a 5-3 loss to Montreal. You were there. What happened?
The Montreal goalie was just deflecting shots left and right. I mean, the Stars had 50 shots in this game. And they could get their power play going, and Montreal was able to take advantage of some turnovers. But Stars tried to make it close to the end. It was 5-2. They got a late goal, and they had a couple of rushes late that they could have had another one to make it 5-4. But this was about the fact that the Stars got 50 shots on goal. And the Montreal goalie was just fantastic. Got chippy late, too. A lot of fights in the final minutes of the third period, which I always enjoyed. It was rage day.
Was it packed?
No. Very surprising, though, too, for an Original Six team, and it was not a pure sellout.
I mean, Original Six team, matter if they suck.
I was about to say.
I'm not going to watch the New York Giants these days.
No, in hockey, it's surprising in hockey. Like, usually you'll show up for those Original Six teams. But they also had Michael Young in attendance. It was Rangers night. So you knew it was going to be a tough one. If they were going to do a giveaway night when the Canadiens are in town, wasn't Montreal, aren't they the defending Eastern Conference champs?
Yes, and they are also one of two teams in the NHL with single-digit wins this year.
And they're number two in attendance. And the Stars are number eight. Tampa Bay's first.
Wow.
Tampa Bay, Montreal, Minnesota. 1, 2, 3. Stars are eighth in attendance. The Mavs are going to try to keep winning. They're going to take on the Raptors tonight at the AAC. Who do the Raptors have left? Raptors are a 500 team. They are ninth in the Eastern Conference. Siakam still?
Damon Stoudemire?
Who's on over there? Oh, Van Vliet.
Van Vliet.
Van Vliet, Siakam are leading the way at 21 points a game. And the Mavs have turned into the old school Pistons in terms of defending. It has been incredible. And I guess you got to give props to obviously the players, but Jason Kidd with the way this team has D'd up as of late. Tonight, 7:30 tip-off at the AAC. Also rumors that Frank Vogel is coaching for his job in L.A. with the Lakers, that they almost fired him after the Nuggets embarrassed L.A., and they were on watch against Utah. If Utah beat down the Lakers the same way, they were going to fire Frank Vogel, whose team has slipped defensively. So look for that to happen with the Lakers, who have been a disappointment this year.
Does he deserve to lose his job?
I don't think so.
Yeah.
I mean, you don't have Anthony Davis, a.k.a. Street Clothes. LeBron has been hurt. Westbrook is being Westbrook. That was an acquisition from the general manager, Rob Pelinka. They're old. They're ancient. How's he supposed to have a good defensive team? I don't know. I thought LeBron was the coach anyway, so LeBron was supposed to fix it.
LeBron is also the player development guy and the talent evaluator, drafting all the players. But Frank Vogel is, I mean, he's a coach. He's just a guy, right? He's just a guy. But I think he's a above-average NBA coach. But when it comes to coaching in the NBA, we all know these guys are just, They're hired to be fired. The first little bit of issues that go on in the locker room, these guys are hired to be fired in the NBA. Yeah,
Frank Vogel has won a title.
Yeah, he did.
And the Lakers are the 8th seed. Phoenix is in first. Golden State, 2nd with Klay Thompson back. Memphis, 3rd. Utah, 4th. Dallas, 5th. Denver, 6th. Minnesota, 7th. Lakers, 8th. A half a game up on the Clippers with the Blazers sitting there in the 10th spot. So that's where we stand right now with the NBA.
And Dame times out 6 to 8 weeks. So, you know, Portland probably won't be moving up at all. And then the Clippers obviously still have their help.
All right, what's this Golden State story with this executive?
Okay.
We have the audio, but what's the setup?
Okay, so the setup is the one of the part owners of the Warriors, and I'm going to butcher this guy's name, Shamath. I'll just call him Sham. All right. One of the part owners of the Warriors is on a podcast talking about they're having an argument and discussion about China. And he talks about the Muslim population in China and the treatment of them on this podcast called All In.
Nobody cares about what's happening to the Uyghurs, okay? You bring it up because you really care. And I think that's nice that you care. The rest of us don't care. I'm just telling you a very hard...
Wait, you're saying you personally don't care?
I'm telling you a very hard, ugly truth, okay? Of all the things that I care about, yes, it is below my line, okay? Of all the things that I care about, it is below my line.
Jeez.
Dang, dude. Like, you know, for him to say that nobody cares about what's happening to people who are basically enslaved in China.
I mean, if he basically said it like... No one cares. Look what's being done.
Right.
It's clear no one cares, but he's like, I don't care. I do not care. And no one else cares either.
Like in the grand scheme of things, like nobody's doing anything about it. I mean, you could say that nobody really cares. Even though you do care, whether or not you do something about it is a different story. And like, there's a way for him to say that, but you can't say that as an NBA owner. Nobody cares. I don't to say that you personally don't care.
It's because, as you said, what's going on in that country, genocide is being performed right now. So people are actually looking into it and trying to stop this. And he makes the comments, but then he came back with a retraction.
Oh, no.
He came back and he says, quote, in re-listening to this week's podcast, I recognize that I came across as lacking empathy. As a refugee, my family fled a country with its own set of human rights issues. So this is something that is very much part of my lived experience. And then he ate a handful of caviar washed it down with champagne.
Yeah, it's, you know, I mean, like, is he just toeing the NBA line here, just bowing down to China on this?
Warriors ran from this. As a limited investor who has no day-to-day operations, he does not speak on behalf of our franchise, and his views certainly don't reflect those of our organization. I'm sure Steve Kerr had something to say about this.
I'm desperately searching Steve Kerr genocide and or Steve Kerr comments, because you know he's very outspoken when it comes to stuff like this.
Absolutely. All right, headlines here, hump day headlines here on Sean and RJ. It's DFW Sports Station 105.3 The Fan. He was right. We were wrong. What do the Cowboys need to fix? Moving forward, is Mike McCarthy going to be the guy? And what's going to happen with the final four games this weekend? Brian Baldinger from Baldy's Breakdowns and the NFL Network next. Michael Irvin was listening at this time last week, and he said, y'all should have listened. You should have paid attention to what Brian Baldinger was telling you from the NFL Network. On the line, Odyssey NFL Insider, our new weekly playoff guest, Brian Baldinger. Insider calls brought to you by Driveway.com. Looking for a car? Go to Driveway.com, where you can get pre-qualified, buy a car, and get it delivered. You can also hear Brian with Lock and Fora, who joined us yesterday with Baldy's Breakdowns, out every week. If you search Baldy on the Odyssey app or wherever you find podcast. Good morning, Brian. Congrats on being right.
Well, I don't know. I'm not even sure what Michael was referring to.
San Francisco, the matchup, the physicality, the style.
Yeah, well, I mean, San Francisco whipped, you know, the Cowboys in the trenches. I mean, I didn't think it would be that bad. I didn't think, you know, between the holding calls, you know, the linemen just getting whipped, you know, one-on-one, You know, they got a weakness at left guard. They've had a weakness at left guard. It got exposed. But it was way more than that. I mean, you know, they're a better football team, and they played like it. They played faster. They were far more aggressive. The quarterback in Dallas struggled, you know, from the very first play of the game. They can't get the ball to their star players. At least, you know, that's what they're supposed to be. So, you know, I mean, after the 49ers won the game, you know, despite, you know, the final play, that everybody could talk about that. But that was one of the worst third quarters by a football team I've seen all year. The Cowboys got the ball to start the third quarter, and all they did was go backwards the entire quarter. I mean, they couldn't – I mean, they got a first down at the end, but first down was like an achievement in the third quarter. Yeah.
Brian, are penalties on players, coaches, or both?
Well, the reason why you hold – I mean, if you just take, okay, three holding calls by the offensive line, if you just take those calls – you hold because you're in bad position, and you're holding to get yourself in a good position.
Yeah.
I mean, that's just a function of fundamentals right there. The pre-snap penalties, you know, the back-to-back flinches, you can say it's discipline, it's that, it's all those things. You know, I mean, just locking in, you're at home, you know, there's, you know, it's just, it's hard to overcome. But I mean, that's a combination. Combination of the player and the coaches.
Brian Baldinger from the NFL Network, Odyssey NFL Insider here on 105.3 The Fan. What did you think of the execution of the final play that ended the season?
Well, it's, you know, it's a risky play. It's very risky. I mean, it looks like, to me, when I watched the play, it looked like, you know, Dak, they had a play called if they defended the sidelines. The three previous plays, when they got the ball with 32 seconds, the 49ers played a picket line defense. They rushed four. They had seven guys across, you know, the back line together, not to let the ball go over their head. You know, and then on the fourth play, you know, at the 40, Dak saw them guard the sidelines with three players at each side with two safeties. And he elected to run the quarterback draw, which is a risky play with 14 seconds to go, no matter how you do it. But if you're going to run that play, the quarterback better hand the ball to the umpire. It better not go to the center and the center spot it, and then the umpire jumps in and tries to spot it. It's risky because you're up against the clock. But if you're going to run it, the quarterback better get the ball to the umpire.
Did you think the umpire, one more quick follow-up on that, did you think the umpire was out of position in order for that handoff to happen? Too far back trailing the play?
Well, look, George Ramon is the umpire. I mean, you know, the umpire and the referee, you know, on the play, Alex Kemp, I mean, they line up 15 yards behind the play. I mean, that's their position. So they're going to trail the play all the way. But, you know, you've got to factor that in. You know, when you run that play, that the umpire started the play 15 yards behind you and the quarterback takes off. I don't believe George Ramon is as fast as Dak Prescott. I don't know that, but I don't believe he is. So you're going to be behind the play. And so you can't say that he's out of position. He's where he's supposed to be. He's to the left of, you know, Dak Prescott, right, where he's supposed to be to start the play.
In a two-minute offense like that, who calls that play? Is that because we haven't really gotten an explanation.
Well, Michael Silver said Kellen called it.
Is that coming from Kellen? Is that coming from the quarterback? Like, how does that usually work in a two-minute offense?
Well, it looks like Dak makes some kind of a check, you know, at the line of scrimmage. I mean, it doesn't look like the receivers know it because they're all running routes on the play. I mean, they're all running. So it doesn't look like they're just running the sidelines off. It looks like it's just an automatic check by Dak, to be honest with you. I mean, he does something. He gives some signal when he sees the 49ers defend the sideline. You know, Tony Romo said it, you know, right when it happened. They're defending the sidelines. So they're not going to let him, in theory, they're not going to let him get out of bounds, but you can always get out of bounds. I mean, he's got to break a tackle. But it looks like Dak is giving some signal of what they're going to do. The receivers look like they're just running routes. Like, they don't look like they're trying to run anybody off at that point.
Brian,
it's hard to say for me. It's hard to say. I don't know, you know, exactly where the play came from Kellen or from Dak, or if it was an automatic check.
Baldy, Lockenfor reported this, and all of a sudden it seemed like it had some legitimacy What do you think about all the talk regarding Mike McCarthy's job status?
Well, I don't know. I mean, I don't know what the conversations have been like with, you know, with the owner and upper management. I mean, I don't know. I don't know where that would come from. I haven't heard anything from Jerry say anything otherwise, saying that he just wasn't going to address the situation after the game. That's all I've heard, like everybody else. Look, it's a massive, massive disappointment. But, you know, my thing about firing coaches, and we've got eight of them out there, is you don't fire your coach unless you have a better option. If you have a better option, then you have the discussion. But it's a massive disappointment. The 49ers played much better. Much was expected. You're at home. It's the marquee game of the week. Heck, Troy Aikman said it was the marquee game. He wished he was doing the game. Everybody, you know, was tuned in to watch this game. It was the biggest game of the weekend. And to have it at home, to be the favorite, and to play like they did, I don't know, you know, what makes anything a fireable offense, but I'm sure just the disappointment alone would immediately bring those type of conversations to the forefront.
So with certain teams and coaches, you say, oh, that's a Parcells coach team. That's a Sean Payton coach team. When you watch the Cowboys on film, what do you see in a Mike McCarthy coached team?
Well, I mean, look, Dak Prescott got hit 14 times, and they had 14 penalties. Like, you wouldn't want that on your resume if you were the Jacksonville Jaguars. You wouldn't want that on your resume. And you definitely wouldn't want it on your resume if it was a home playoff game to get the 2021 playoffs kicked off. Like, you wouldn't want that on your resume. Nobody would.
Around here, we keep going back to the Denver game. This is where we need your help schematically because you are an expert in X's and O's. And we say, oh, the Denver Broncos gave the blueprint in terms of what they were doing against Dak, and the offense was never the same except for two blowouts against the NFC East. Did you see that, a consistent blueprint defensively from the Denver game on?
Well, each game is independent. I mean, I don't think San Francisco said, well, this is what Denver did to Dallas. We're going to do it. I know San Francisco. They played their game. You know, they dress nine defensive linemen. They come after you like it's, you know, like a bunch of angry sharks. And that's what they did. And, you know, they disrupted. They had one or two blitzes that got home. But really, for the most part, they attacked the line of scrimmage. Now, they play a totally different defense, San Francisco does, than what Denver does. So, Dallas, except for a drive, a touchdown drive in the second quarter, they didn't run the ball well at all. Like, that's not a good recipe for anybody. When they ran it, they moved the ball. And they just did that on one drive. But, you know, they didn't protect well. So, I don't know if that's a blueprint by what Denver did. I mean, that's just who they are right now. Mm-hmm.
Paul, do you think the talent on this team is overhyped because of the publicity that gets with being on the Cowboys, that these guys are household names where if they played for another team, they would just be, you know, I don't want to say guys, but not household names, and they may not be as good as they actually are?
I think there's probably a lot of hype because of where they were drafted and how high and all that kind of stuff, you know, and reputation. I mean, that offensive line didn't look like a good offensive line on Sunday. So I would say that, you know, there's a lot of hype to the team, especially when you're beaten as thoroughly. I mean, the score, I thought, was closer than in the game. I thought they were beaten thoroughly on both sides of the ball by a team that, you know, had to win in week 18 just to get into the playoffs. So I would say that there's some of that to that, because really, you're only going to get measured by how you play in the playoffs. That's it. I mean, I don't care what your record is. If you win 12 games in the regular season, that's a nice record. But it's really how you play in the postseason is how you should be measured. And they didn't play well. They got beaten pretty good.
What should be at the top of the fix-it list in the offseason?
Well, I'd find a left guard that could play. Should play at a high level. I mean, that would be a premier position that I would address right now. You got to look at the left tackle. I mean, Tyron didn't play well. I know his reputation. I know what he's done over the last 10 years, but I'd take a long look at left tackle. Those two positions, I'm not saying Lyle is a lock at right tackle. I wouldn't say that Terrence Steele isn't a better player at that position. I just look at the offensive line right now, and I think it needs to be upgraded at this point.
Brian Baldinger, Baldy's breakdowns every week here on your home of the Cowboys, 105.3 The Fan. All right, what are you salivating over in terms of this weekend's matchups in the divisional round?
49ers going to Green Bay is going to be. I think it's going to be a really good football game. I want to see what the Rams do in Tampa. All these games should be good, and you can't be any more perfect than what Josh Allen was against the Patriots. It's just simply impossible. They ran 54 plays. They didn't have one negative play. Not one. It was literally perfection. So can they get anywhere near that against Kansas City this weekend? If they do, they're going to beat the Chiefs. 49ers, Green Bay. Green Bay is a surefire number one seed. And I believe the 49ers can give them all they can handle.
Is Titans-Bengals that one game where, you could see, you could really see the upset there more than anywhere else?
No, I don't see it. I don't see that. I know what Joe Burrow and Ja'Marr Chase are, but I think their front, their offense line will get exposed in this game. And I think the way that Tennessee plays offense is going to give Cincinnati some problems.
Baldy, are you totally back to believing in Kansas City? With the struggles they had earlier on in the season, or do you still have a little bit of doubt?
Well, I have no doubt about the quarterback at all, none. Mm. Like, that guy's competitive fire and how he plays the game. He can turn the ball over, and he's going to go through patches like that because he's aggressive. But I don't have any questions about the quarterback. They love to play man coverage. It didn't look real good against Cincinnati in the last game of the season. But they're going to do the same thing against Stephon Diggs and, Isaiah McKenzie and, Emmanuel Sanders. They'll still play their man coverage because they like the blitz and pressure. And, can Buffalo take advantage of that?
Final question. How would you be looking at Dan Quinn and Kellen Moore if you were hiring them to come be the head coach for your football team with the interviews that they've been conducting?
Well, I don't know that Kellen Moore is ready to be a head coach. I know that people think he's this elite play caller and designer of offense. I saw CeeDee Lamb catch one pass. Dan Quinn probably deserves a second chance. I like Dan Quinn a lot. He's very organized. I think he relates really well to players. He obviously had a good season this year in Dallas. I think that Dan Quinn is going to be high on somebody's radar. It didn't finish well at all in Atlanta, but I think he's probably going to get a second chance. And, I think he'll probably learn from some of the things that happened in Atlanta and some of the decisions he made from his staff, from hiring. I don't believe he ever really replaced Kyle Shanahan as the offense coordinator effectively. And then I think he had a lot of questions about his defensive staff. I don't know why Raheem Morris wasn't his defensive coordinator from day one, when he became the head coach. So I think he learned a lot from that experience.
Baldy, we've been talking about, Mike McCarthy's, game management, clock management, and, we were looking at Dan Quinn's in Atlanta, and it was bad there, and, everybody wants that new coach. Have you found that most coaches are kind of pretty much the same when it comes to making miscues on game management, clock management stuff when it's in the contract of the game?
I honestly believe that that's overrated. I think it depends on your quarterback. Like Andy Reid had all kinds of clock management when he was in Philadelphia. He doesn't seem to have those issues with Patrick Mahomes ever. Like it never comes into question anymore. They always have timeouts in their pocket. The quarterback knows what he's doing. And so I think it's a function of just how sharp your quarterback is and how they process information in those places. Nobody was worse than Andy Reid in Philadelphia, but they didn't have Patrick Mahomes, in Philadelphia. And that's not to knock Donovan McNabb or anybody else that played quarterback. A lot of guys were here then, but you know, I think it's a function, a big function of your quarterback in how he processes information and gets people lined up and ready to go.
Great stuff, Baldy. We appreciate it. Enjoy the games. We'll do it again next week.
Okay, you got it, guys.
I guess we should go through the updated draft order and see what type of ammo other teams have in the NFC East to finally get some quarterbacks to match up with the Cowboys. It's Sean and RJ here on DFW Sports Station 105.3 The Fan. So after Wild Card Weekend, the order was set even more. And Philadelphia holds picks 15, 16, and 19. Here's the order from top to bottom. Jacksonville 1, Detroit 2, Texans 3, Jets 4, Giants 5, Panthers 6, Giants 7. So the Giants and the Eagles are going to be major focal points in this first round. And this is scary because when you got picks like that, you got ammo. And in a draft, I don't know. Everyone says, oh, well, this is the wrong year to have really, really high picks. It's supposed to be a weak draft, no quarterbacks. You could be Jerry Jones optimistic here and say, well, what you do in a weak draft is trade the picks and you get more of a known. Would you rather the Giants get the top quarterback in the draft at 5 or trade 5 and 7 for Deshaun Watson? I'd rather them draft the QB.
Oh, yeah. 100%.
So there's 5 and 7 for the Giants. Atlanta 8, Denver 9, Jets 10, football team 11, Vikings, Browns, Ravens, Eagles 15, Eagles 16, Chargers, Saints, Eagles 19, Steelers, Patriots, Raiders, Cardinals, Cowboys at 24.
It's a the one thing I would caution is the term there's no quarterback in this draft. Because there's going to be 4 or 5 quarterbacks taken relatively early. Just because there always is. And teams that don't have a quarterback need to find a quarterback. And they need to find that one by drafting one. And you take your shot. Sam Howell could turn into a great NFL quarterback. How many first overall picks at quarterback have been complete busts? A lot. How many second overall picks? A lot. And then there's going to be guys that prop up out of nowhere that we, you know, nobody knew Dak Prescott was going to be this. Nobody knew Tom Brady was going to be this. Tony Romo, undrafted. Nobody knew Ben Roethlisberger, taken in the teens, was going to win a couple of Super Bowls and go to the Hall of Fame. So we may not think there's a great elite quarterback that the Giants or Washington or Philadelphia can draft. And they may turn around and draft somebody that turns into Patrick Mahomes.
Well, there's a lot of NFL mock drafts that are starting to spill out right now, especially during the playoff season. And one of those guys that always puts out a mock draft, Mel Kiper, this morning put out his first mock draft. Now, I know he's old school and people probably are turning a blind eye to Mel, but you listen to him just to see what he has to say. And
the reason everyone loves mock drafts. Or a lot of people do.
Oh, yeah.
And the reason they keep doing them.
And you know what? Not surprising at number one on his mock draft, Mel Kiper has Jacksonville taking Aiden Hutchinson, the defensive end from Michigan. No shock there. But you guys are talking about quarterbacks. What team is taking the first quarterback off the board?
Okay. It's not. Well, could be Detroit. Could be Houston. So I'll say. Although, are they going to draft one that high? I'll change and say no. It will be the Giants at 5 or Carolina at 6.
RJ?
I think Detroit will trade back. And I think Houston might too. I'll say Houston does. Houston takes the quarterback.
According to Mel Kiper's first mock draft this morning, Malik Willis, quarterback of Liberty, will go.
Liberty?
Yep.
Well, he's a transfer. Mm-hmm. He's a transfer. He's playing at Liberty. But anyway, Malik Willis will be the first quarterback off the board at number 11 to Washington.
Wow.
Okay.
First quarterback at 11.
Yeah, and you mentioned Sam Howell, by the way, RJ. Sam Howell, according to Mel Kiper, he's way down the list. He's at number 28 to the Detroit Lions.
Yeah, they got two first-rounders. That's the Rams pick that they got in the Goff-Stafford deal. And look, if you're Detroit, you know, you could trade down off your number two pick, stockpile a couple more first-rounders. I mean, they could really build a roster. It just depends on how long they want to keep Jared Goff for.
And as far as the Cowboys, Cowboys are number 24 on the list. According to Mel Kiper's mock draft, the Cowboys will take defensive end Trayvon Walker out of the national champion Georgia Bulldogs.
Man, Brian Baldinger just went at the offensive line. Justifiably so. Went right at left guard. That's Connor Williams and McGovern. Then questioned Tyron. And then wondered if, you know, Terrence Steele was just as good or better than Leo Collins. What a letdown and what an overhyping we did of the Cowboys' offensive line this year. What a problem. 877-881-1053, Autoflex Leasing Fantex, to hit us up here on Sean and RJ. What is Vegas thinking right now? Super Bowl spread.
AFC by 2.
It's a pick 'em now.
Okay.
It's a pick 'em. The over under right now is 51.5. The favorite to win it all is who?
Green Bay.
It is Green Bay. Why is it Green Bay and not the Packers?
Correct.
Wait, why is it Green Bay and not the Packers?
I'm sorry. Why is it Green Bay and not the Chiefs?
Ah, there we go.
Green Bay's home field, I would imagine that is the reason. Kansas City would have to go to Tennessee. That bludgeoned them pretty good this year. In fact, Kansas City will have to go through, no matter who they play. Kansas City is 0-3 against the remaining teams in the AFC this year. They got beat by Tennessee, they got beat by Buffalo, they got beat by Cincinnati. Another little interesting fact from our guy Bo. Tom Brady is older than every opposing NFC head coach left in the postseason.
Wow.
It's just like the Brady stats just never cease to amaze me.
Yeah.
The little nuggets.
Green Bay is the favorite at 7-2. Kansas City is second at 4-1 to win it all. Buffalo is 5-1. Tampa Bay is next. Then the Rams. Then the Titans, then Cincinnati. So that's the order if you want to lay down some money on the Super Bowl. Packers-Chiefs Super Bowl right now, most likely to happen in Vegas, 11-2 odds. And then you want to go down and get some value. Tampa Bay versus Kansas City is 9-1. Tampa Bay versus Buffalo is 10-1. So that's where we stand.
Okay. I mean, you know, I think if you're going to sit here and tell me that I could get Tom Brady and Patrick Mahomes into a Super Bowl and I'd get 9-1 odds, it's pretty good. That's pretty good.
Now Tampa's going to have to go through the Rams and maybe Green Bay, depending on what happens with San Francisco. So that's where we stand with that in terms of the games. 877-881-1053, Autoflex Leasing Fantech. Speaking of Tampa, Bruce Arians said he has no regrets for whacking Andrew Adams. Now, Arians is walking around, with a blown ACL. He's got ligament damage from surgery. And during the beatdown of the Eagles, his safety was involved in this pileup. Well, you now get a penalty if you drag a player off the pile. So Arians saw this. Did everyone see this video as Arians went over and whacked the player like kind of
whack
in the back of the head? And he said, no, I don't regret it. And I've seen enough dumb. You can't pull guys out of a pile. We just got a big play, great field position. So I don't know. To me, judging these things, whether it's youth sports, college, I always just go to my immediate reaction. Like if you have a young kid getting berated or his helmet's getting ripped over, you know, to the sideline on the bench, and I'm like I get angry over that. I'm like, that's wrong. That was out of line. I didn't feel that way with this one. Maybe it's because Arians is limping on over. That's kind of funny. you know, he didn't really hit the player to do any damage, but this became a viral thing whenever you're going to make contact with a player.
Yeah, I mean, that's the thing. You know, you're making contact with a player. You know, it's interesting. It's all about also the body language too. You know, that we're able to read. I see coaches in baseball. Sometimes I do this too. It's like, you know, if the kid's got a helmet on, yeah, like you like tap him on the helmet in a, what's the matter with you? You know, what are you doing? Well, what's the matter? What are you swinging at that pitch for? But it's, you know, Bruce has got like this red faced anger look to him. And I think everything changes based on the body language and how it's approached.
What do you think? You have a problem with it? You usually sometimes have a problem with this.
I don't have a problem when it's the NFL, when it's grown men, when it's million-dollar players out there and you're trying to keep them in line because you're winning the championship. I have a problem when you're a coach to young people, a la Trent Dilfer, if you've never seen that video before. When you do something with a kid that's in high school and especially in Pee-wee, like stuff you would see on, what was that show that we used to watch?
Friday Night Tikes.
God, you are horrible coaches. When you do stuff like that to younger players, that's a problem. But as far as NFL players, not at all. I think they all understand what's on the line.
877-881-1053 to hit us up here on Sean and RJ. A lot of people have texted us saying, why haven't y'all gone to Jerry? You're going at McCarthy. You're going at Dak. You're talking about the penalties. There's just one constant here over the years for this Cowboy disappointment, and is the owner and general manager. Plus, how guilty are all of us for just overrating this talent like we seem to do every single year? That's next with Sean and RJ on The Fan.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with three lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.